Now we look at Mark chapter 4, and I will read the first part, and then we will read together from verse 13. Mark chapter 4, we're reading verses 1 through 20. I'll read the first 12, and then we will read together from verse 13. Hear God's word. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he could go into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. And so seeing, they may see and not perceive, and hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven together." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. May God bless his words to our hearts. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I was reading over some commentators on this text and was surprised by how some interpreted it. One of them said, "Before the seeds are sown, you must consider how much of the seeds you are to eat. And you must consider the danger of wanting to eat what you must sow." Now what that commentator and others said was true. But that was not the purpose of this parable. A parable has one meaning, one main point. And the point of this parable was to show how various people respond to the gospel. And then you remember the context. Jesus had just appointed 12 apostles to go out on a practice run to preach the gospel. And he therefore wanted them to be prepared for how some might respond to the gospel that they preached. So you will hear today about the four types of hearts on which the gospel seed would fall. And our headings are two, simple. First, four types of hearts. Second, four types of response. Our goals are that you will have good hearts for the word to grow, and that you might be prepared to be patient when you bring that word to others. First then, four types of hearts. Jesus assumed his regular position of backing the lake when he spoke, so his voice could travel to more people on land. But what was unique about this example was the description of the great multitude that was there by the sea with him. It was a spot where he could talk to both Jews and Gentiles. They were away from the prying eyes of those intellectual people. Those scribes and Pharisees sometimes would cause trouble within the city, or we call them the city elites. They didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles, but now, here, they're out by the sea, they were more likely to get the Jews and the Gentiles there as well. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to unwise. So with Jews and Gentiles on hand, he started to teach them this parable about the sower. Jesus wanted their attention, though, as he started to speak, so he used the word, behold. Behold. In this parable, he spoke of a sower who went out to sow on four different types of soil, or four different types of ground. The first set of seed fell on hard ground on the wayside, and they were quickly eaten up by birds. The soil was too hard for the seeds to penetrate. The second set of seed fell on stony ground, and it grew up quickly, but quickly died because of the sun's heat, as it had no depth. It never produced any grain. The third set of seed fell among thorns and grew up, but were choked by thorns and died. Even though it had depth of soil, it did not produce any grain. And then the fourth set of seed fell on good ground, grew up, and bore much grain. And then Jesus said some interesting thing after the parable. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus then urged those who heard the parable to pay attention and to search out the meaning of the parable. They all heard the parable, but not everyone cared to pursue the understanding of the parable. Some loved ignorance. They prized themselves, and they didn't know, they didn't pay attention, they didn't care. What lessons can we learn from the details that we've gotten so far? The parable itself. First of all, no one gets the word until God gives it to them through you. There is no intrinsic knowledge of salvation in man. You might know about the world, and you might know that God exists, but you only know your sin, you only know your salvation, and you only know how to thank God through the Bible alone. Watch people who say, well, I'm just spiritual, and I serve God my way. And you see the wrong ways in which they do it, because they don't know the Word of God. So what does this mean? It means you must get involved in spreading the Word of God. You must be involved in evangelization. You must effectively support those who are involved in evangelization. And I say effectively because I could easily say financially support them, but it's much more than that too. You need to pray that the Word of God might sink into the hearts of people who hear the gospel. We talk about missionaries in Honduras and Costa Rica and Mexico, in France, in Cyprus, in Italy. But you need to more than just send money. You have to be effectively involved by praying, by encouraging the ministers, by sending a letter of support to them. But this evangelization, this sowing of the seed, must start in your families. Don't stand on judgment day and watch your children march into hell because you never brought the gospel to them. If they go to hell, it would be because of their own willfulness. It must not be because of you that you missed the Word of God sitting down and talking to them. They shouldn't go to hell knowing more about computers than about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a second general warning, and it's this. You must necessarily put energy to studying and receiving the Word of God. It is pure laziness to read something in the Bible, know that you don't know what it means, and then just say, I've done my ritual for the day, put it back on the shelf. There sometimes you have to go and pull out some commentaries. Or like some people here, send a note off to the pastor. That's all right. Keep doing it. It's not bad. You want to know what the Word of God means. It's not just some superficial thing. Don't move to the next chapter until you know what the previous chapter was about. Then third, if you're not a Christian, it is your duty to search out the Word of God. It is your duty to let it sink into your heart and let it grow and let it bear fruit. You see, you will have to give an account to God for every sermon you wasted. You can waste sermons because you hear God's Word and you just toss it aside. That's wasting God's message. Don't waste this precious seed. Let it sink into your heart that you would believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners such as you. But let's see the response now. Our second point. The four types of response to the gospel. Before we look at the details though, Jesus' disciples heard the parable, but they did not understand it. So they asked for an interpretation from the Savior. You know, some just left, they didn't care. Cute story, let it go. They didn't get the meaning of it. But Jesus' disciples wanted to. They wanted to stop and talk to the pastor, the real shepherd of Israel. But Jesus first stated that he did not explain the parable, why he did not explain the parable to others. He said, if I explained it to them, they would have heard the gospel and believed. But he didn't want them to hear the gospel and believe. Why would he not explain the gospel to them? He did this because no one deserved to hear the gospel. And he was going to only reveal it to the ones he chose. And the ones who really wanted to hear it. So he quoted what is often called the dirge of the damned from Isaiah, which is indeed a recurring theme in the Bible. Let's read what it says first in Isaiah, then Romans, and then Corinthians. Isaiah 6:9 together. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not believe. Romans 11:8 together. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. Then 2 Corinthians 4:3 together. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, the gospel does not blind nor deafen. It is man who is willfully blind and deaf because he follows the instruction that comes from the God of this age. Who is that? The devil. He makes them stick their fingers in their ears so they don't have to hear the message of Christ. He makes them disinterested because the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes take over and they have no time for the Word of God. They don't have time to look or to study or to listen to the Word of God. And Jesus is saying, some people didn't hear this because they are not my children. Can you imagine how this would have made the disciples pay more attention? Whoa. We were Arminian. Now, a little bit early before Arminian, but that's what they were thinking. He says, no, they're not going to hear the message of Jesus Christ. I don't want them to hear the message. Of course, they didn't want to hear the message as well. But this is teaching about election. Election. Now look at the details. The sower sows the word. He's sowing the seed, which is the word of God. So this is gospel preaching. Luke 8:11 says together, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." So, who is the sower here? The Lord Jesus, and those whom he redeemed to join him in this work. In Matthew 13:37-38, we read together, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the Son of God. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one." So we know when Jesus uses, he's picturing himself as the farmer who sows the seed, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he sows good seed because he speaks the truth. What are these four types of ground? The four types of ground are four hearts. So the seed is the same with the same sower, but the ground is different. The soil is different. The soul is different. So how does each heart respond to the word of God that is sown in it? Some hearts are truly hard. They hear the word of God, but it never sinks in. There is never a proper understanding of truth. Look at Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 32, together. "Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them." There's just an obstinacy, a rejection of the truth. We say the word of God goes in one ear and comes out of the other. And the devil likes to snatch away truth. A beautiful picture of this was the example of the sacrifices that Abraham saw when he was in this deep trance, where Jesus walked between the animal sacrifices. And then the devil tries to come and, like the birds, and take those pieces of meat away, the sacrifice for sins. So the devil always does, likes to distract you with things. Secondly, there were some with superficial hearts. Their hearts were only superficially impressed with the truth, but the truth never sinks in deep enough. They listen carefully, even eagerly, but they're never brought to a sense of sin and shame, and so they never repent. Luke's account of the parable says they may even have joy. They may confidently talk the Christian talk. They may even fool people into thinking that they believe. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 13 together. "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. These wither and die as soon as there is trouble." So they lose a friend and they give up serving the Lord. They have to give up a job and they're angry with God. Or they have to change some things about their lifestyle and they love that too much to want to change. They promise fruits. They look like they're Christians. But only dry stubble remains as soon as there's some trouble. Yes, they imagine they have faith, but it is exposed as soon as persecution comes, like sun and grass. Maybe the shame of the cross cripples them, but a true inheritance, if you have a true inheritance, the Bible says it never fades. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we read together, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." That's the one that the true Christian has. But this one may have imagined he has it, acted like he has it, but never really did. Then the third group of third heart that is mentioned here. These hearts allow the word of God to sink in, and it even starts to grow, but other things take over. Salvation seems close, but was never in grasp. Look at Luke's description of this in Luke 8:14 together. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So today we can say sports, for example, take over, fame, the pursuit of fame. You've seen what people do to get on American Idol or so many other of these things. They'll lose sight of what really matters. People talk about one lady recently who was and has written and has sung many Christian songs, and people think, what a wonderful woman she is. Her name is Carrie Underwood. And then she said some reprehensible things in recent times. Why? Because that's politically expected. You have to, if you want your career to go forward, you can't say that God's word is the absolute truth. And sometimes the lust for things make us ignore the word of God. These are the things that choke us, and that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They raise their ugly mutant heads, and they crush the plants, the plant that is growing. John Calvin says that each of us has a forest of thorns that we must pull out. And one of the biggest thorns, as Luke highlights, is covetousness. This overwhelming desire to pursue earthly possessions as opposed to spiritual things. Sometimes even fear of persecution can choke out the word of God, but that more applies to the second type of soil. But how sad that these people look like Christians. They talk like Christians. But here, the attraction of the world pulls them away. And then he said they were the fourth type of soil, fourth heart. Some who are never rebellious. They don't react emotionally, but become fully conscious of their sins when the word of God is preached. They don't allow pressures and persecutions to take over, and they don't let the pleasures of this world to take over either. They overcome all obstacles that try to kill their new life, and they show grain, fruits of obeisance and obedience, fruits of worship and fruits of work. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 15, together. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Three lessons. First, in this parable, it is the fruit that shows salvation, not the life of the plant. That's why it's important to understand that there is one point in a parable. And remember, this is a parable. That is the genre. Parables have one point. So don't misunderstand this to think that it is possible for someone to lose his salvation after he gets life. It's not the plant that the Lord is speaking about. It's the fruit of repentance. It's the fruit that he's emphasizing here. If you develop doctrines based on the extraneous in material in a parable, you're in big trouble, right? That's why you don't say that you can communicate between heaven and hell, because a parable said that the rich man was talking to Lazarus and to Father Abraham in heaven. If you follow parables to every detail, you will be confused, you will have false doctrine, your life was going to be very difficult understanding the gospel. So the point of this is the fruit. Second, Jesus had no obligation to bring the gospel to you. Remember, that's the quote from Isaiah and Romans and 1 Corinthians. This means you must be very thankful that you have it. Very, very thankful that you have the gospel. Remember what the gospel is to the Christian. That gospel that God has given to you. Psalm 119, 105, together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then Psalm 119, 130, together. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So without that word of truth, you'd be lost. You'd be going to hell. But God was pleased to give that gospel to you. You see how special you are. How much God loved you that He chose you to bring that message into your heart. God could easily have prevented you from seeing the truth, but He graciously sent someone with the gospel to you. You must covet the gospel. Third, your heart must allow the word of God to sink in, though. When the word sinks in and is nourished by God's Spirit, not by cares, not by worries, it will produce faith and holiness, fruits of the Spirit. God will work if you don't resist Him, if you don't fight against Him. And when that word sinks in, it will bear much fruit. You can't have that superficial response to the gospel. Otherwise, it will have no impact on your life, except more condemnation, because you would have wasted the seed of God. Let's conclude. There are four common types of hearts: rock-hard hearts, superficial hearts, that's with the stone underneath that quickly die as soon as pressure comes. The lustful hearts that allow the things of this world to crush the work of the gospel in you. And then the good hearts. Only Christians have good hearts. And they only have the good hearts because the Holy Spirit worked to soften them. You see where human ability comes in. How did you get your soft heart? The Holy Spirit works and softens your heart. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, learn to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls, thus says the Scriptures. Remind the Holy Spirit to keep your heart soft, to remove the thoughts and activities that hinder your Christian growth, to rip out lusts, to receive the Word of God and let it grow in you each Sunday and throughout the week. Second, spread the Word. Spread it everywhere you go. You know, these people with all the different types of hearts, all four hearts, were around Jesus, just like they are around you. You don't know whose heart has been prepared by the Holy Spirit. So you bring the gospel to all those who are around you. That's what He wanted His disciples to know. So they wouldn't go and be frustrated and say, "Lord, we preached the gospel and those people just rejected us. They laughed at our faces." Know that you can expect if the word never penetrates. So sow the word everywhere you go. Third, pray that the Holy Spirit will work in bad soils to prepare them for the word of truth. You see, you might have the best presentation of the gospel. You might be able to speak about the sinfulness of man, the greatness of God, the work of Jesus Christ, and how salvation is worked in people. But unless the heart is prepared, unless the Holy Spirit is working, will not do anything. That's the preparation. You need to pray that God will soften the hearts of the people. Because it doesn't work in your oratorial skills. It has to do with the Word of God. Sorry, the Spirit of God who works through the Word that you speak. Then men will see their sin and they will see the need for resting in Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, you have one of the three bad hearts. Whichever one you have, whether it's rock hard, whether it's stony, or whether it's that one that is filled with thorns that choke out the gospel, will take you to hell. Unless the Holy Spirit makes your heart soft to receive the seed of the gospel. Will you pray that the Holy Spirit will remove your heart of stone, marred by sensuality and lusts, and that He will give you a new heart to receive the things of the Lord? I hope you will. Let us pray.